Welcome to the People of Relic and EKR podcast, where you're going to hear the stories of the people that work at these two amazing advertising agencies. Relic focuses on tourism, and EKR works with a variety of businesses to help people get the right message to the right people at the right time. And we have amazing people in our organization, and I am going to interview them to hear the unique stories and backgrounds that they have to help you better get to know the people of Relic and EKR. Carrie Hess, thanks for joining me on the People of Relic and EKR podcast. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
I know you're super excited about this.
Yeah.
So, Carrie, tell us first of all just who you are and what you do here at Relic and EKR.
Well, you already said my name. So my name's Carrie, and I'm an account manager on the EKR side.
Awesome. Now, what does that mean?
That means that I get to have daily communication with all my clients. I get to have conversations about what their expectations are with the agency, and I get to take those expectations back to our fulfillment teams and get them met. So, and we keep track of everything, make sure that we're meeting deadlines and just building that relationship, which is my favorite part.
So I want to come back at some point to today, but we're going to go back in time. We're going to go back. Carrie's upbringing, give me a little bit of your backstory.
Oh, goodness. Well, I grew up in the Vegas area. So I was born and raised there, and I lived there for 36 years of my life.
Now, the Vegas area.
So Boulder City. I grew up in Henderson.
Okay.
And then I lived in Boulder City when I was married for about 16 years there. So yeah, I lived there. I raised, I have three little girls. They're not little anymore. I have three grown daughters because I'm like the grandma of the agency. I'm the old lady here. And so I have three grown daughters. And we moved here in 2016 to Spanish Fork, Utah. And that's where I live.
Awesome. So my parents are in Henderson, and I go to Henderson quite often. I think we may have discussed that at some point.
Yeah, I grew up in Old Town Henderson. So Water and Ocean Street area, that's where I grew up. My mom still lives there.
I actually love the Water Street area right there. There's some nice restaurants there. We ate at a really good pizza joint where the owner came out and talked to us and stuff. It's a cool place.
It's cool. It gives you the hometown feel right there. So, yeah, it's fun.
Nice. Okay, so you gave us many years of upbringing in about 10 seconds.
Yep.
So tell me, how many brothers and sisters did you have?
I have an older sister, and I have a twin sister, and then I have a baby brother who's about a year younger than me.
Carrie, did I only just now find out that you're a twin?
The secret's out. Yes, I'm a twin.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Yes, we do have something in common, Adam.
We do have something in common, Carrie.
Yes, we're fraternal twins, so we don't look alike. And gosh, it's embarrassing to say on a podcast, but oddly enough, we're not friends and we don't talk. We haven't spoken to my sister in a lot of years, but yeah, I have a twin sister.
Okay. So, yeah. All right. That's very interesting. Yeah. I want to ask you, what was it like growing up with a twin?
It probably wasn't the normal, typical experience with like what you had. We were very different. We even went to different schools when we were growing up. So it was different. It was hard to have your own identity because you were the twins and that's just what you were known for. I didn't get to be Carrie for a really long time. So it was kind of nice to be an adult and be Carrie and not one of my mom's twin girls.
I can really relate to that, Carrie, because growing up, it was always like, I don't know, I don't exactly know who I am. I'm the combination of two people, essentially. Is that how it felt?
Oh, of course, 100%. Yep.
So when did you kind of go from being someone's twin to Carrie?
It kind of started in high school, oddly enough, because we went to different junior highs. And so when I got to high school, people really didn't know us. Like, we hung out with very different crowds. I was a cheerleader, and I don't even know what she did in high school. But so people really didn't know that we were sisters. But then when I got married right out of high school, and then I got to kind of find out who I really was. Well, I don't know if I did then either, but I was realizing that I wasn't just part of somebody else. Like, I got to be my own self. So it's kind of cool.
Okay. And this is fascinating to me because I've obviously been through a portion of this. So if this doesn't sound like the rest of the podcast that we've done, it's me being selfish and wanting to learn about somebody who's been through the same thing that I have. What was that process like of figuring out who you were?
It was hard, and it actually took a lot longer than you would think to figure out who you are. Also, that process involved figuring out who I was in a new phase in my life. I went from being, you know, young and carefree and in school to being married when I was 18 years old and a mom when I was 20. And so I was trying to figure out and navigate that all at the same time of figuring out who is Carrie. And Carrie evolved into mom and wife and lived in that realm for a really long time. And then as my kids got to be older, then I kind of got to figure out a little bit more about who Carrie was. And to be honest, I'm still figuring that out. If I'm, you know, full disclosure, I'm still figuring out who that is. I'm entering a totally different phase in my life where I don't have kids at home. This is the first job I've had. You know, I was a stay-at-home mom for 19 years and then got divorced and got a job. So, yeah, I'm still figuring out who Carrie is. So that process is ongoing. And I kind of think it should be ongoing for everybody. As you enter different phases in your life, you figure out different parts of who you are and who you want to be. And I think that's good.
I think that's a really good point, because if you figure out who you are as a kid when you're 25 years old, who you are doesn't really make sense anymore. So, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. But if you had to say who Carrie is today, what have you found out?
Oh, you know, today Carrie's pretty independent. And I can't say that I would have said that even 5 years ago, but I'm pretty independent. I'm really loyal. Man, I'm fun.
Carrie, you are fun.
I would have never said that before, but I'm fun and I like to be fun. I like to laugh and I really like to entertain people. I am one of those people that doesn't mind being up in front of a crowd. A microphone is a little scary. I don't know why.
There's not enough people in here.
There's not enough people in here. There's lots of different things about me, but those are probably the three most. I'm loyal and I'm fun. I'm really caring. And I'm still trying to kind of figure out what I want to be when I grow up, even though I'm kind of grown up.
Well, it's kind of funny, Carrie, because I got to know you before I actually got to know any of the other EKR employees when we acquired EKR, because as I would come in and meet with the previous owners of the agency, you're the first face that, which I think was very smart by those guys, because you're so happy and welcoming and I don't know, I always really appreciated the reception I would get. In fact, I remember my son was a preemie, and we ended up having to deliver him early and everything, and you would always ask about him when I would come in, and I thought that was so cool. I think that's an interesting thing that actually has translated into your role as an account manager is, yes, you're entertaining, and yes, you don't mind being the center of attention. You're fun. You listen to other people, and you have empathy for other people, which is something I recognized really early on in meeting you.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah.
I do remember the very first time we met. I remember sitting in the conference room looking at pictures on your phone of your brand new baby boy in the NICU. So, yeah, I remember.
Good times, Carrie. How long ago was that?
About 3 years ago.
Wow. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a long time ago.
Yeah, it was a bit.
Crazy. Okay, so now that we've gone on that little journey, one thing that I ask everyone, and I'm going to ask you too, and maybe you've already spoken to it, maybe you want to pick something else. Was there anything, a memory that you have as a child that was kind of formative in helping you become who you are today?
That's always a hard one, isn't it? You know what? I had a fourth grade teacher. I had a rough upbringing. It probably wasn't the normal. And so I had a fourth grade teacher who recognized that, and she was amazing. She just loved me, and she did stuff with me outside of school. Her name was Mrs. Haig, and she was awesome. I remember she took me to the Barnum and Bailey's Circus in Las Vegas when I was in fourth grade. But she was the first person that recognized that I could be a leader or have a leadership role in anything. And so we had little classrooms. In our classrooms, we had little groups, and then they got to vote in like leadership people and people who would speak for the group, but that would also listen to the group and convey what the group as a whole wanted versus what they wanted. And I remember her taking that into my fifth grade teacher and saying, hey, she does a really great job of this. And me finally having something that I was proud of, something that I could recognize in myself that I was proud of, that somebody else noticed, I took that and I just ran with it. I loved that. So that's what started me in dance and like student councils and things like that when I was in school. I really liked the underdog. From that situation, I just really liked to find somebody who needed a friend or whose voice wasn't always the one that was heard, and to make sure, because I have a loud voice, that I would take their voice and help it to be heard. Mrs. Haig was literally I wrote a whole paper on her when I was in school, one of the most inspirational people in my life. Fourth grade teacher.
No way. Yeah. Okay, so what was some of the things that she did that helped her build that relationship with you? I mean, I can't imagine that very many people will sit there and say their fourth grade teacher had a huge positive impact on them. I had a third grade teacher that I remember had a negative impact on me, and I remember her very clearly, right? Some of the things that she said to me. But I haven't heard a lot of those stories. So what do you think it was that she did that helped her recognize who you are and that made her want to help you?
I think, number one, it was love and compassion, just for, especially when a kid isn't used to seeing that, it was having somebody show them love and compassion. But it's really looking at what someone is doing and picking up on those good points. Sometimes teachers and just people in general have a tendency to pick out the negative things that you're doing wrong, and they really focus on those. And Mrs. Haig focused on the positive. And she probably had to work a little bit to find that positive. I mean, you know, it was hard. I was not always, when I was in fourth grade, I wasn't super chatty. I was in the realm of protecting my sister from a lot of things. And so I kind of sat in the background. And for her to pick me out of the background of a bunch of people and bring me to the front to say, I know that you can shine and I know that you can do this. And she just had that faith in me that, like, you don't have it in yourself, but I can see it in you. That I have loved that with my kids and with people in my life, that I can see it. You don't have to see it right now. I'll hold you up and I'll see that right now. And that's what she did for me. And man, it worked. So
that's amazing. Yeah. Have you kept in touch with her?
She's passed away, but I did go to her funeral. So I think it was about 8 or 9 years ago. But yeah, she lived in Boulder City, so I would see her from time to time in the grocery store. She didn't always remember who I was because she was a lot older. But for years, all the way up until high school, I remembered her. She retired when I was in junior high. But we would go back and see her at the school. She'd let me go and grade papers and things, and when I was in fifth grade and sixth grade. So yeah, she was pretty special to me.
How do you feel like your life is different as a result of her impact?
I think it's different because I think it gave me empathy for other people. It helped me to see. Sometimes you have a tendency when someone's having a bad day or going through something hard in their life that you focus on just you and how that situation is hurting you or affecting you. Where I like to look at that situation like, well, what are they going through that would cause them to do that? If someone's having a bad day or being a little snappy or a little bit grouchy, like instead of just automatically assuming that they don't like me or that I've done something wrong, I'm like, I wonder what's going on in their life that's causing that reaction. And just that level of empathy was what she taught me the most.
It's fascinating to hear how your background seems to have really prepared you for the role that you're in today. And we talked a little bit about how when I met you, you were working the front desk at EKR, and since then have transitioned from there to an account manager. So I guess my first question is, what was that transition like, considering the fact that this was your first job in 19 years? You had been a stay-at-home mom. You get back into the workforce, you're working the front desk, and then you go from that to account manager for an advertising agency. What's that transition like?
Difficult. It was terrifying, to be honest. And gosh, Adam, if I'm honest, I'm going to try not to get a little bit emotional, but that was special to me because you saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. Like, I kind of thought, I'm going to be a receptionist forever, and that's just what I'm going to do. I didn't go to college, and I didn't get a degree. I chose to be a mom. And so I kind of resolved myself to, well, this is my lot in life. Like, and I loved being a receptionist, but I always kind of in the back of my mind wanted to do something more. So when you came to me and said, hey, would you be willing to do something more for the agency? I was taken aback at first. Like, does he know that I didn't go to college? Does he know that I don't know how to do these things? But you saw something in me that I clearly didn't see in myself. I remember going to Megan, another account manager here, and saying, I don't know why he thinks I can do this. Because I was so nervous. And I remember saying, well, I've got to think about it for a minute. And I remember going home that night and being so nervous. I didn't sleep at all. And the next day I came in thinking that I was going to have a little bit of time to mull that over. And it progressed quite rapidly, where I think worked in my favor, because if I would have molded over, I probably would have convinced myself that I wasn't qualified and that I couldn't have done it. But you thought that I could do it, and the HR manager here, Antoinette, thought that I could do it. And so that kind of gave me that confidence level that I needed to do it. So yeah, I started off as an account coordinator for a little bit, moved pretty rapidly into a junior account manager, and within about 7 or 8 months, I'm a full account manager and manage all my own clients. So
fun to watch that, and so fun to watch you, you know, gain that confidence in yourself to the point where you're now handling one of what I see as the highest possible upside clients that we have in the agency, and that's this new cookie brand that we've been working on. So, I mean, you were a brand new account manager, and you take on this startup that is kind of fast and furious and growing. What was that like?
Intense. By that time, I was like, okay, I think I can do this. I got this account manager thing down. I mean, people are my thing. I like people. So if you let me talk to somebody, I mean, I can talk to a rock. So I was super excited and really nervous. And so I remember coming to the agency and saying, okay, I have all these other clients. I'm going to need a coordinator because I'm going to need some help. Is that something that we could manage? And when you guys said yes, I was like, wait, what? You said yes, I get a coordinator? Like, this is going to be amazing. And honestly, that client is one of my, like, proudest things that I've done in the agency. So, yeah.
Why is that?
It wasn't easy in the beginning, especially. The client didn't necessarily know who they were and what their brand was. And we were building kind of from the start. And it was not only managing tasks and making sure that team members were getting the things done that they needed to get done for the client, but it was also strategizing on what's best for the client, something that I'd not really done before. It was all the fulfillment team members and the managers would come in and say, this is what I think needs to happen for this client. And I would just put that into our software program and get the ball rolling and make sure that that got done. But with this client, I got to strategize on what we think was best. And I just got to go do a training where I stood up in front of all of their franchise owners and taught them and sold them, which new business is, you know, not something that I'm super familiar with or have done a lot with, but I did it. So I just got to put my hands in it, and I felt like I was a true, like, a marketer for a minute. You know, I was like, I can do this. So it was fun.
So you kind of feel like you've made it.
I've made it.
As an account manager.
Yes, I know what I'm doing now.
It's funny because obviously another place where I can relate with you is this is where my career kind of came up as well. I was an account manager, and it's amazing how many times you have to solve a problem for the first time before you get to feel like, hey, I've done this before, right? And so I really can relate to kind of what you went through, especially with Dirty Dough, because starting, and I guess we should have said the name of them earlier, but Dirty Dough, it wasn't meant to be like a big reveal or anything. But we started from the ground up, and there were so many firsts along the way. Mm-hmm. I think you did a great job of navigating all those challenges that came along, and it's really fun to watch it turn into, okay, I know what I'm doing, right? And I think you've done a great job with it, to the point where in an executive team meeting recently, the topic of your progression as an account manager came up, and everybody can kind of see what you're accomplishing there. And it's really fun to see you really flourish in your role.
Thanks, Adam. That's nice to hear.
So yeah.
It has been an adventure, and I love it. So it's fun.
That's awesome. Yeah, that was my next question. So do you feel like you found your home in account management?
For a while. I have goals now, Adam. That's a new thing for Carrie.
Well, tell me what they are. Let's hear about them.
Adam, I'm going to be a director one day. That's a goal. So I like managing people. I like, you know, I like growing people is what I like to do. So I like to make people the same thing that Mrs. Haig did and that you did for me. I like people to see their own potential and to grow people. And that's what I want to do.
That's exciting. So yeah. As a director, obviously, you would need to lead a team of people in kind of a joint cause to try to do what's right for our clients. What part of that role, other than, you know, you talked about growing people, what is it that makes you want to work towards that? Is there more than, or is managing people really kind of the main draw of that for you, or is there more to it than that?
It's managing people, but I think it's more being in that holistic marketing bubble, like being, you know, more involved in that funnel. And I honestly feel like account managers will make really good directors, because you are hands-on in every single department. You're hands-on in the accounting department and the design department. Like you know what's going on with every single client, and also where the challenges come in. Someone who, you know, is a designer might not see all the challenges in reaching out to a client, and you get really used to having to navigate that relationship when someone's maybe not very happy with you or a service team member, and you have to keep that, walk that line of still protecting your team member who works for you, but also protecting and respecting what the client's wishes are. So it's kind of a dance that you have to learn. And account managers, when you get really good at it, it comes really naturally to do that. And I feel like that the next natural role is also to be a director, because you know that.
Yeah. So I think you will make a great director.
Thanks, Karen. Adam. I'm glad that's recorded.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's put that on all the promos for Carrie, right?
Don't edit that out, okay?
Well, Carrie, it's been really, really fun to get to know you over the last little bit. And I learned some new things about you that I didn't know before. I really appreciate you taking the time to tell us a little bit more about you.
Yeah, thanks, Adam.
I guess my last question for you is, when you reach the end of your career and you're looking back on it, how will you decide if it was successful or not?
Wow, man, you come at me with hard questions, don't you? I think I'm at a point in my life, I'm old enough in my life, that success is measured to me on how I feel I did and whether I put my best foot forward and that I went 150% and then some. And that's how I figure you can do everything you can to please somebody, and sometimes you can't please them, but you got to please yourself. So if I look back on my career and I know that I gave it all that I had and I did the very best job that I could, that's enough for me.
I love it. Well, thanks, Carrie. It's going to be fun to watch you continue to head down that path and become a director and see your success in the agency.
Well, thanks, Adam.
This is one of the many stories of the people of Relic and EKR. I hope you'll stick with us and listen to the other stories that we release on a weekly basis and get to know our whole team. We've got some amazing people here, and we hope you enjoy it.